the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. If you believe that the Bible is true and that Christianity is the right religion, then logically you would also believe what the Bible says about life after death. But surprisingly, many Christians have rejected some of the Bible's most basic teaching about the nature of life after death, and in particular, the reality of hell. Today, we're going to identify four non-negotiable truths that Jesus taught about that place of eternal judgment. My message is titled, How Can I Know I'm Going to Heaven When I Die? On today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
Trusting God requires a measure of faith, absolutely. But the Christian life is not a blind leap of faith. In his persuasive book, How Can I Know?, Dr. Robert Jeffress offers credible answers to seven of life's most important questions, addressing doubts, clearing confusion, while much of life remains a mystery, God provides clear-cut answers to our pressing questions. Request your copy of How Can I Know when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory today.
Jesus taught, although there's one fate, there is not one destination for all mankind. There's one fate and there are two possible destinations. And we see those two destinations illustrated in the famous parable Jesus told in Luke 16. Now notice here, two men both died, different destinies. Now I want to make it clear here, the reason the poor man died and went to heaven was not because he was poor. There's nothing particularly righteous about being poor. Likewise, the reason a poor man went to heaven was because of his name. We find it, his name, Lazarus, Eleazar. It means God is my helper. Now, this man had put his faith in God. Now, the rich man died and he was buried and he ended up in Hades, the temporary place of the unsaved. The Bible says he was in torment. He didn't go to hell because he was wealthy. Job was a wealthy man. Abraham was a wealthy man. Wealth in and of itself does not disqualify you to eternal life. But apparently this man had depended upon his wealth for his salvation rather than on God. But what I want you to notice here is Jesus taught that there are two possible destinations when we die. And that leads to the second truth the Bible teaches us about eternity, and that is the reality of hell. Jesus taught clearly about the reality of hell. Of the 1,850 verses in the New Testament that record the words of Jesus, 13% of them talk about hell or God's coming judgment. In fact, when you catalog the words of Jesus, Jesus spoke more often about hell than he did about heaven. Jesus believed that hell was a reality. Now, many Christians dismiss that today. They say, oh, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I believe in what he said about heaven, but I cannot accept his teaching about hell. That's intellectually dishonest. To say I'm going to selectively decide which of the teachings of Jesus I'm going to follow. No, Jesus taught that hell was a reality. First of all, Jesus taught that hell is an actual location. Hell is an actual location. It's increasingly popular by some, even some Christians, to claim that hell is simply a state of mind. In fact, former pastor Rob Bell theorized that everyone goes to the same place when they die. Everybody goes to the same place, believers and unbelievers. However, unbelievers perceive that place to be hell. Believers perceive that very same place to be heaven. It is all a state of mind. But that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught there were two literal locations for the saved and for the unsaved. In Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus said, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Some will go to be eternally punished. Some will experience eternal life. Now, what I want you to see here is you can't say, well, I believe heaven is an actual location, but hell is a state of mind. You can't make sense of Jesus' words. Would Jesus be saying, now, some are going to go into a real place called heaven, while others go into a state of mind? No, Jesus taught that hell is just as real of a location as heaven is. Secondly, Jesus taught that hell is a place of indescribable and eternal torment. It is a place of indescribable and eternal torment. Look at how Jesus described the physical pain of this rich man who ended up in Hades. Luke 16, verse 24, "And the rich man cried out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.'" Jesus often used the imagery of fire and brimstone to describe the physical agony of hell. In Mark 9, verse 48, Jesus described hell as a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So terrible, so horrific is the suffering in this place called hell that Jesus described the reaction of the occupants of hell this way in Matthew 22, verse 13. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All that occupants of hell can do in the midst of this terrible pain will be to cry continuously, to grind their teeth. Now, some people have tried to turn down the temperature of hell just a little bit by imagining that when Jesus talked about the fire here of hell, he was speaking metaphorically, symbolically. But the fire here is not a literal fire. It's just symbolic. Now, I'm going to surprise some of you today by saying that's possible. That's possible that Jesus was speaking symbolically here when he talked about fire. But if Jesus is speaking symbolically, no one should find any comfort in that. Because if Jesus is using fire as a symbol here of the horrific physical suffering that awaits people in hell, what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying the actual suffering in hell is going to be so horrendous, so horrific, that there are no words in the English language to describe it. The only way I can possibly describe to you what hell is really like is like having your flesh on fire day and night forever and ever and ever. That's what Jesus is saying about the reality of the suffering in hell. Now, some people, again, Christians, can't believe that God would actually torment unbelievers day and night forever and ever. So they've adopted a view called annihilationism. They're not going to suffer forever and ever. That's too terrible to comprehend. Instead, they will just land in the lake of fire and be burned up and destroyed. But again, if you follow the teaching of Jesus, Jesus doesn't give us that option. Again, go back to Matthew 25, verse 46. Jesus said, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, notice what Jesus is doing. He's comparing eternal punishment with eternal life, hell with heaven. Jesus said, the time unbelievers will spend in hell is eternal. It is eternal, everlasting punishment, just as those of us who have trusted in Christ will spend eternity in heaven. Number three, Jesus taught that hell will contain the majority of humanity. Hell will contain the majority of humanity. It's interesting, the polls revealed that the majority of Americans do believe in a place called hell. Did you know that? The majority of Americans do believe in hell, but only a small percentage of people believe they will be in hell. You see, most people are pretty good folks. And so most people are going to make it in heaven. It's only going to be a few who are consigned to hell. After all, I mean, if you say heaven is only going to be populated by Christians, why, only a small percentage of the world's population are Christian. If you say only Christians are in heaven, that means billions and billions of people, not only who are living now, but who have lived throughout all time, they're going to be consigned to this place called hell, and that is just too terrible to think about. How could anybody in their right mind say only a few people are going to be in heaven and the majority of people are going to be in hell just because they haven't embraced Christianity? Again, former pastor Rob Bell vehemently denies the idea that the majority of humanity would spend eternity in hell. He ridicules that belief with these words. A staggering number of people have been taught that a select few Christians will spend forever in a peaceful, joyous place called heaven, while the rest of humanity spend forever in torment and punishment in hell with no chance for being anything better. It's been clearly communicated to many that this belief is central to the truth of the Christian faith, and to reject it is, in essence, to reject Jesus. And here's Bell's evaluation of that. This is misguided, toxic, and ultimately subverts the contagious spread of Jesus' message of love, peace, and forgiveness and joy that our world desperately needs to hear. And yet, in spite of the protests of Rob Bells and other liberal Christians like him, Jesus was very clear in this teaching. Not only did he teach that hell was an actual location, he said the majority of humanity will spend eternity there. Again, go back to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter through it. But the gate is small, And the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And furthermore, Jesus went on to say that hell is not just going to be populated by the murderers, the rapists, and the drug dealers. Jesus taught that on this broad way that leads to hell are many good, religious people, even people who profess to be Christians. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. For many will say to me on that day," talking about the judgment, "'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness.'" To me, those are some of the most terrifying words in all the New Testament. The idea that hell is not just populated with the murderers, rapists, and drug dealers. It's populated with religious people. Even people who have deceived themselves into thinking they are Christians. Why is it so many people struggle with this teaching of Jesus? That the majority of people will be in hell and only a few will enter into heaven. Well, why do we instinctively rebel against that idea? Don't you find that hard to believe? To be honest, isn't it hard for you to accept that only a sliver of humanity will make it to heaven and the majority of people will be consigned to eternal torment, all because they haven't embraced Christianity? Why do we struggle with that idea? I think there are two reasons. First of all, it's because we have a low view of God. You know, the Israelites made the mistake of thinking that God was like they were. In Psalm 50, verse 21, God corrected them. He said, "You thought I was just like you." See, we have a low view of God. We want to bring God down to us. We want to say God is just as tolerant of sin as we are. But what I want to suggest to you is the reason you and I can overlook sin in other people's lives and in our own lives is not a sign of our God-likeness. It's a sign of how unlike God we really are. Because God is not like we are. In Habakkuk 1:13, the Word of God says, "God is pure holiness. He is one whose eyes are too pure to approve evil, and who cannot look on wickedness with favor." God's eyes are too pure to approve evil. He's unlike we are. He cannot look on sin with favor. He can't laugh about sin like we do sometimes. The reason we struggle with this idea that so many people are going to be in hell is we really have a low view of God. But coupled with our low view of God, most of us embrace a high view of ourselves. A high view of ourselves that makes us doubt that most people, and especially us, should be destined for hell. That inflated sense of our own goodness helps explain why it is that only 4% of Americans think that they are deserving of hell. I mean, honestly, we all tend to think we're pretty good people, don't we? And the reason we think we're pretty good people is we have a flawed measurement of our goodness. When we're measuring our goodness, our relative goodness, whether or not we're deserving of heaven or not, how do we measure ourselves? We usually look for people to compare ourselves to that are worse than we are, or so we think. We choose the murderers, the rapists, the drug dealers, and we say, "Well, compared to that person, I'm a pretty good fella." We never use people for comparison that are better than we are. We don't compare ourselves to priests and to nuns. We always choose the murderers, the rapists, and the drug dealer. And so relatively, we think we're pretty good people. But you see, the measurement that God uses is not other people. It's himself. God compares our righteousness to his perfect righteousness. And by that standard, we all come woefully short. And we can compare ourselves to, say, Adolf Hitler. And we can come up with the idea, well, we're pretty good. We're sure a lot better than Adolf Hitler is. And the difference between us and Adolf Hitler, the moral difference is considerable. Hopefully it's considerable for you. It's considerable, but that difference is negligible when we compare our righteousness to the righteousness of a perfect God. And by that standard, we all fall short. Romans 3:23 says, "For all of us have fallen short. We've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Unbelievers will spend eternity in hell, not because they're not good, but because they're not good enough. There's a fourth truth Jesus taught about hell, and that is Jesus taught that hell is a forever destination. Some people have theorized that those people who find themselves in hell will one day be won over by the love of God and will be transported into heaven. One pastor writes, "At the heart of this perspective is the belief that given enough time, everybody will turn to God and find themselves in the joy and peace of God's presence. The love of God will melt every hard heart. Even the most depraved sinners will eventually give up their resistance and turn to God." Now, the problem with such a belief is, again, as nice as it sounds, it completely contradicts the teaching of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say about the possibility of repentance after we die? Jesus taught that hell is a forever fixed destination. Go back to Luke chapter 16. The story of the rich man who died and ended up in hell. He begs to Abraham, "Abraham, give me relief, for I'm in agony in this flame." Abraham says he's unable to do so. And then the rich man cries out, "Well, if you can't help me, please send someone back to earth to warn my siblings, my brothers, about the awful fate that awaits them." Apparently, this hardened rich man had had a change of heart. He was now compassionate. He now cared about others. He now believed in the reality of heaven and hell. So he said, "At least if you can't help me, please, Abraham, send somebody to warn my siblings." Notice Abraham's response in Luke 16, verse 26. He says it's impossible to do that. He said, "And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great chasm that is fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." Hear what Jesus is saying. Between heaven and hell, there is a great chasm, a great gulf that is fixed. And just as it is impossible for people in heaven to go to hell, it is equally impossible for anyone in heaven to cross that gulf and go to heaven. There is a gulf between heaven and hell that cannot be crossed. But Pastor, what if somebody in hell finally bows down before God, gets on his knees and said, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe, Jesus. I trust in you." Jesus said, "It's too late. For you see, in hell, everyone's a believer."
There's nothing more important than facing the consequences of our choices. Eternity is at stake. And next time on Pathway to Victory, we'll talk about the much better alternative, choosing to cross the chasm of darkness that ensures our entrance into heaven. Before we close, let me share an encouraging note I received from one of our television viewers. Mary wrote, "Pastor Jeffress, I've been personally impacted by your teaching. And then it hit me. I realized that I believe and now I'm saved. But I have friends that follow other religions and they are not saved. I can't wait to get the book, How Can I Know, so that I can share this message with others." Well, thank you so much to those of you who give generously to Pathway to Victory. Your investment is really making a difference as together we pierce the darkness with the light of God's Word. Now, stay right there. I'll be back with more in just a moment. If a friend or even one of your children ask you, "How do you know the Bible is really true?" Could you give a clear and credible answer?
It's a fair question that deserves a solid answer. And when you support Pathway to Victory with a generous gift today, we'd like to send you a book from Dr. Robert Jeffress containing answers to life's seven most important questions. It's called How Can I Know?
God is never threatened by our questions. In fact, He's provided truthful answers in His Word to questions like, "Why does God allow suffering?" and "How can I know that there's life after death?"
7 straightforward answers to 7 questions. The book, How Can I Know, is yours when you give a generous gift to Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive the entire teaching series on CD and DVD.
Maybe you've been sitting in the pews for years, even decades, and yet you have some questions about the foundational beliefs of the Christian faith. And let me assure you that my purpose in this series is not to berate you for your doubts, but instead to answer your very real, sincere questions in an intelligent and a compassionate way.
Thank you for investing financially in Pathway to Victory. Your partnership will help our ministry broadcast God's truth on television, on radio, and online, addressing doubts, clearing confusion, and transforming lives through the bold biblical teaching of God's Word.
Jesus left no room for doubt. Hell is a real location of never-ending torment. And anyone who rejects Jesus' free gift of salvation will spend their eternity in that horrifying place. But gratefully, Jesus taught that there is an alternative to this awful destination that awaits us when we die. And next time, we're going to look at the other alternative and how we can be assured of going there. Stay tuned for a preview of the next message, How Can I Know I'm Going to Heaven When I Die?
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Jeffress' popular book called How Can I Know? Plus, the booklet, Is Christianity the Only Right Religion?, is our gift to you simply for contacting us today at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete How Can I Know teaching series on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
The Bible says we're all going to die. And while that is a fate that everyone experiences, regardless of whether they're righteous or unrighteous, a believer, an unbeliever, a Muslim, a Hindu, or a Christian, although we all experience the same fate, we experience one of two very different destinies, heaven or hell. We all don't go to the same place when we die.
Set your DVR and join us next time for part two of the message, How Can I Know I'm Going to Heaven When I Die? Here on Pathway to Victory.